Good morning.
Good morning.
Everyone to Wiggum Baptist Church this morning. Just a few announcements before we get started with worship service. Remember Wednesday night, we have prayer meeting at 7 p.m. and also it'll be conference, church conference, Wednesday night, June the 7th. Tonight, after the evening worship, we'll have a pantry shower for Pastor Tim and Amy. Bring finger foods and items that they may can use as they continue to get settled in. So please remember that and come for that fellowship tonight. Vacation Bible School starts June the 18th. If you have any addresses for children to invite to VBS, please provide them to Sissy or Katie so we can mail the children letters. If you know of any children that would be interested in attending, let them know. If you can have the addresses, we'll notify them by mail. Also, any ferns or greenery that you might can provide to help us decorate the church for VBS, get with Sissy or Katie on that. Put your name on it. Our ferns look so pitiful, we wouldn't have to worry about a name, wouldn't nobody take them. No choir practice tonight. Any other announcements? Would like to encourage you, if you're not attending Sunday school, to come to Sunday school at 9:45 each Sunday morning. I think you'll find a blessing there. Also, if you are visiting with us, or if you have any prayer requests or anything, there's an insert in your bulletin. If you will fill that out, that's one way to contact us. You'll see here also the contact numbers. I'll go over them again. You can send email requests to wigumbaptistchurch@gmail.com, or you can use the contact page on the website. It's a little form you can fill out. Brother Tim's and Harold's and Howard's and my phone numbers are here in the bulletin. I would encourage you to put them in your phone. If you need any of us, feel free to call us. Any other announcements? Any birthdays?
Larry.
I am not going to sing happy birthday. Okay, Brittany's. Anyone else? Heavenly. Didn't you tell me on the way to church that yours is when?
Wednesday.
Heavenly. I'm getting more responses than Harold King. They think I'm going to sing happy birthday. So everybody, see, we changed one thing up. And everybody gets it. This is great.
I saw that coming.
Who? Jan? Y'all. Okay.
Tim, the way we try to
word. You said Jan.
Today,
I didn't know they meant Janice. My Jan. I'm going over. Go ahead.
The way we try, I try to keep it organized is today or this past week.
Well, we got these.
If it's coming up this month, it's all right.
We got them down here. We'll sing them more than. But Harold's going to come and lead us with happy birthday.
Go ahead, bro.
You put me on the spot.
Okay.
And then I'll open the worship service with prayer, y'all. Okay.
I'll tell you what, you stand right here and help me, all right?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Sweet, sweet spirit, y'all. And that means a lot to know it means a lot to Brother Tim, and it means a lot to your deacons and all the church members. A sweet, sweet, sweet spirit here. So let's open our worship service with prayer, y'all. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day, Lord, that we can gather together here today, Lord, and encourage each other, fellowship with each other. But Lord, as we start our worship service today, Lord, we here to worship our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, Lord, and to give you all the glory, Lord. I do want to lift Brother Tim up to you today as he proclaims your message today, Lord. I pray that we have come with our hearts prepared to not only listen, but to obey, Lord. And as we start out with our song service, I just pray for our songs and our hymns, Lord, that we sing to bring glory to you. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Sean, just a moment. Get back there and get the screen working. This morning, I want to ask everyone, if you can, please stand here as we worship in song this morning. We're going to start out with hymn 330. If you're looking in the hymnals, Amazing Grace. Now, on Amazing Grace, we have to sing all verses. So we're going to sing all verses of Amazing Grace. smiles sing real loud as we worship our Lord. Thank you.
And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. He said, I am him. Therefore they said to him, how were your eyes opened? He answered and said, a man named Jesus, or called Jesus, made the clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and I received sight. Then they said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now it was the Sabbath when Jesus had made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. He said to them, he put clay on my eyes and I washed and I see. Therefore some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such things or such signs? And there was a division among them. They said to the blind man again, what do you say about him because he opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son whom you say was born blind? How then does he see, or now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know, or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age, ask him, he will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was the Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, he is of age, ask him. So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Then they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. Listen to verse 30. The man answered and said to them, why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered and said to him, you were completely born in sins, and you are teaching us. And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. Then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world. To those who do not see, or to those who do not see, may see, and that those who see may be made blind. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, Are we also blind or blind also? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remains. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we come to this point in time, God, I pray that you would remove me, Lord, that others would see you and hear your words, not mine. Lord, I pray that you would just speak to our hearts and minds today. Lord, for those who may have grown up in church, they might have been here every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. They may have been here for the last 80, 90 years. Lord, they've heard about you. They've seen what you've done. But Lord, maybe they've never trusted you with their own hearts and minds. Lord, today I pray that you would help us to see you for who you are. And as the question goes, Lord, the title of the sermon, have you seen Jesus? Lord, help us see you today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we find several things here. We first find that this was a man who was born blind. We don't know how old he was. We really don't even know his name. We don't really know anything about him. It was just a man who was blind. He was a beggar. He had to ask for alms as people passed by. We don't really know where he was from, but we have to assume he was a Jew because of who his parents were. His parents were in a synagogue, and only those would have been Jews who would have went to worship God there at the synagogue. And so we find out a few things that we have to kind of put in there with this. But really what we need to realize is this blind man, because his name is not given, his age is not given, we have to assume that this blind man can represent every one of us. Because until Jesus opens our eyes, we are all spiritually blind. It takes Jesus opening our eyes to see that we are sinners in need of a Savior. But here's a common question that comes down very often. You've probably asked this question. I've asked it probably hundreds, if not thousands of times. When we see somebody go through struggles and trials and tragedies and tribulations of life, we tend to ask God, why? Why? Have you ever asked God that question? Mm-hmm. These disciples were walking along with Jesus and they passed by this blind beggar. And so the question comes up, Jesus, why is this man like this? Maybe he was young. Maybe he was healthy. Maybe he was middle-aged. Maybe he was old. We don't know, but we tend to think that, you know, why was this guy like this? What happened? What did he do to deserve this, right? What did he do to deserve this? Or what did his parents do? Because isn't that the common thing today? If it's not your fault individually, it's your parents' fault for how you turned out. Mm-hmm. Amen? Come on. Y'all paint your parents? Yeah, I know. Well, you've been there if you've got kids and they're grown. If it's not their fault, it's your fault. Anyhow, the disciples asked the question, why? Why, Lord? Why is he like this? What did he do? What did his parents do? But Jesus answered their question, and this may shock you, but can I tell you the things that you go through in life may be for your benefit, it may be for your correction, but it may have nothing to do with you at all. What you are going through may not have anything to do with you at all. Because Jesus plainly puts the blame on God alone. Because God was going to reveal himself to others through this blind man, through how he was born. In society today, we chose as parents not to have the placenta test, whatever that's called. I don't know, amniocentesis or something like that. We chose not to because we just totally decided to have God brought here. That's what we were going to deal with. And so, but anyhow, but today in society, if somebody finds out their child is going to have a birth defect, you know what they usually do? Abort. Up to 90% of parents who find out their child is going to be born Down syndrome abort their child. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just simply saying that society looks at people who are different and they don't want to be bothered with them. But here we find that Jesus is saying, listen, this man was born like this so that God could reveal himself through this blind man. How many people has society aborted that God was going to do something great through? But you know what? My God's bigger. My God is bigger. Society didn't want to deal with this man, but Jesus said he was born that the works of God may be revealed in him. But Jesus had a plan. Doesn't God always have a plan? Jesus spits on the ground. Now, we think that's nasty, don't we? We think that's nasty, but, you know, whatever works, works, especially if it's in the hands of Jesus. He spits on the ground, he gets down and rubs it together and puts some clay over this blind man's eyes, and he told him to go wash. To go wash. Simple instructions. So the blind man goes and he washes. You know, the reality is we all need to be washed of our sins. Amen. We sang it a while ago. Are you washed in the blood? We need to be washed of our sins. And we need to ask ourselves the question, why did Jesus do this? Well, I can tell you, after working at a sawmill for almost 19 years, working with planer knives and grinding wheels, that there were many times as I was grinding knives that sand would fly off of that wheel, even with safety glasses on, and get into my eyes. Have you ever been mowing on a hot summer day and it hadn't rained for 3 weeks and the dust and sand blowing everywhere and it gets in your eyes? What do you have to do? If you're like me, I can't stand anything touching my eyes. You gotta wash it out. I'm gonna come back to that in just a moment. But this blind man, verse 7, it says that he went and washed. And when he was obedient to do what the Lord told him to do, guess what he received? He received his sight. You know what the amazing thing is there? We see that this blind man receives his sight, and as soon as God gives him a blessing, somebody else starts complaining. Come on. Amen. Why can't people just be happy for somebody that's been blessed? Come on, y'all help me. It happens in church, come on, because these were religious people too that were complaining. Somebody has a better car, somebody has a bigger boat, somebody has this, somebody has that, and there's these over here, you know. And instead of just being happy that God has blessed them, they got to answer to God for their actions. You answer to God for yours. Here they are. They begin to naysay. They begin to be doubters. And they say, well, you really didn't get healed because you really weren't born blind. Isn't that what? I mean, five times the scripture says in this chapter, they asked him, how did this happen? You know, and when he kept telling them again and again and again, that how Jesus had anointed his eyes, told him to wash, and he got his sight back. These people were saying, well, man, you must not really be born blind. And they didn't believe him because guess what they wanted? They wanted corroboration of his story. They called in his parents, the expert witnesses, and they come in and they tell these people the same thing. Yes, he was born blind. But you know what? In the religious world today, if people's opinions don't line up with ours, what do we sometimes want to do? Put them out. And now what happened here? because the Jews had already met together and said, if anybody says that this is the Christ, the Messiah, that healed this man, they will be put out of the synagogue. That would be the punishment for them believing that Jesus was the Christ. Putting them out of the synagogue would be like you being put out of your family. Maybe you would have a family business and then all of a sudden your family quits buying stuff from you. Maybe your family quits selling things to you and you have no way to make things work or to make a living. But in this case, to be put out of the synagogue would be saying, listen, you can't come and offer your sacrifices to the Lord. And if you can't offer your sacrifices to the Lord, because at this point they're still under the Old Testament law, right? If you can't offer sacrifices for your sins, you're not going to heaven. That's serious business. They decide that with this blind man, they're going to bring him in one more time. This is like the Supreme Court of the United States. They bring this man in. They've got the Pharisees. They've got it already set up. And before he even gets on the witness stand to tell his side of the story, they wanted to get up there and they said, all right, tell us again. But we know this man is a what?
Sinner.
They're talking about Jesus, the perfect lamb, sinless sacrifice for our sins. They're already telling this man, change your story. Change your story. They are tampering with a witness. Today in America, in most cases, that would be grounds for mistrial. That somebody is trying to sway the testimony of a witness. But you know what? When the truth is the truth, you can't help but tell the truth. And that is what happens here in this story. Here again, they ask him about how this happened. And I'm just going to run back through this quickly. Verse 9. He says, I am he. In other words, I am the one who was born blind. I am he. In verse 11, it says, a man named Jesus put clay on my eyes. I washed and now I see. He defends what Jesus did for him. In verse 17, when he is asked again, what does he think about this Jesus? He says, he is a prophet. In verse 25 through 29 probably gives some of the most profound statements in the Bible. Verse 25, he answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. He doesn't know because it's the first time he met Jesus. How could he have met Jesus in just a few moments and found everything about his life? He says, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Man, do we have that testimony? Do we have that testimony to once we went our own way, we did our own thing, and then Jesus came along and we heard a preacher preach, we heard the evangelist speak, we heard a Sunday school or VBS teacher again present the gospel, and God did something to us. God opened our eyes so that we could see. We couldn't see before, but we can say without a shadow of a doubt that though I was blind, now I see. Man, do we have that testimony? I hope so. We need to bring it back to a question. Why did Jesus anoint the man's eyes spit and sand, dirt? I think Jesus did, this is my personal belief, I believe Jesus knew that he had to irritate this guy to death until he could see straight. Some of us are just more hard-headed. We think about the paraplegic in Mark chapter 2, where his friends, four friends bring this their crippled friend to Jesus and put him down through the roof. And Jesus just looked at him and says, your sins are forgiven. Take it up your bed and walk. Why did Jesus do this differently? As you find out, God always does things differently. Amen? That's why he made all of us different. God did it so that this man would be irritated until he saw the truth. Because as the progression goes, as I mentioned a while ago, in verse 11, he just simply says that Jesus was a man. He's just a man. This man named Jesus. He comes along and he spits on the ground and he makes clay and he puts on eyes. And then, once again, in verse 17, he calls Jesus a prophet. And then in verse 33, he tells the Pharisees that unless this man came from God, he could not have done these things. You see, there's a line of progression. He's first a man, he's a prophet. Now he's just a man from God. But then when we get to verse 38, we realize that this man has had a change of heart. He has gone from being not only physically blind and spiritually blind, but now he has become physically seen, but also spiritually seen. He has come to the point and place in his life where he realizes, hey, this is Jesus. This is God. This is the God who created me. This is the God who has caused me to see. Because here again, up until this point in time, this man has never seen Jesus. Hear me carefully on this. Up until we see these last few verses, this man has never seen Jesus. All he's heard of him do was speak and touch his eyes with clay. Other than that, he's never seen Jesus. And so when Jesus comes back around and finds this man, because when this man would not change his testimony, what did the religious people do? They booted him out of church. Right? They put him out. In verse 35, it says, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when Jesus had found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? Simple question. He answered and said, who is he? Because here again, this blind man hasn't seen Jesus. He's only heard him and felt him. Verse 37, Jesus said to him, you have both seen him now. He's seeing him as a physically. You've both seen him. And it is he who is talking with you. You see, Jesus had to reveal himself to this blind man. He had heard him, he had felt him, but he hadn't actually seen him. And so through the voice and through the eyes, this man began to believe in who he was. And he says, Lord, I believe. Can I ask you today, have you made that profession of faith? Have you said, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know I'm in need of a Savior. And I know that I can only be made spiritually sightful by trusting in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. But see, there's a danger. There's a danger. You can walk away from here today and you can leave blind. But you have a choice. You can leave blind or you can leave seen. This man believed, but there were others who would not. That there were others who had all the proof they needed, and yet instead of believing, what did they do? They decided, no, I'm not going to believe. They had all the evidence in the world, but they tried to discredit that the man was even blind. They tried to discredit his parents. They even tried to discredit the miracle that Jesus had performed. Because if they could have disproved or discredited any point of the story, then they would not have to make a decision on who Jesus truly was. But they chose not to believe Jesus as the Son of God. They did all the right things. Can I tell you the right things won't get you to heaven? Come to church. Every time the doors open will not get you to heaven. Dressing the right way won't get you to heaven. Living a good life won't get you to heaven. The only thing that gets you into heaven is by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. The work that He did on the cross is for you and it is for me. Peter says in Acts 4:12, there is no other name given among men by whereby we must be saved. Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt? Because if you have a doubt, you need to get it worked out. You know why? Because I know that nobody in this room is promised tomorrow. Nobody here is promised tomorrow. Oh, you might have plans. But can I tell you, you have an opportunity today to leave here soon. Will you follow what God's will for your life is? It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Will you stand with me? Have you seen Jesus? Have you seen Jesus? Are you following Jesus? Is Jesus Lord of your life? Can you truly say that you are following Him today? Heavenly Father, as we go into this invitation, Lord, I pray that you would have your way in our hearts and minds. Lord, I thank you for loving us. I thank you for showing us who you are through your word, through the cross, through your death, your burial, and your resurrection. Lord, you have done everything that needs to be done. We have the proof. Lord, we simply must believe, and I pray it in Jesus' name that we would do whatever you want us to do today. Lord, have your way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Hymn 149.
On Calvary's tree.
go 1 mile, but Jesus tells us to go 2. So we're going to look at that tonight and ask ourselves the question, am I doing all that God wants me to do? And am I doing whatever it takes to do His will in my life? So come back tonight and look forward to seeing you. Do you mind dismissing us in prayer?